Some people talk had me to talk about them, and like I said, some people, you know, they were asking me like, "Why you ain't say nothing about me?" or "Why you ain't talk about me?" And I'm like, "Well, you wasn't all that great." I like to talk about people who give me something to talk about, but I also tell them. But here's the other power that I had, because I will also say no, because if you're boring, I'm not talking about you, because I'm not gonna pull. I don't like to pull, like try to pull something just because you tried to like pay me to talk about you. I'd be like, yeah, I can't do that.
Stay tuned. I'm having a messy conversation with Kendall Kendall right after this quick break. Welcome to Reality with the King. It's me, Carlos King, the king of reality TV and one of the most sought after executive producers in reality television, with over 10 years of production experience. Twice a week on Reality with the King, we'll sit down with my friends across the entertainment industry, recap our favorite reality shows, and revisit unforgettable moments that we are still talking and tweeting about. On today's podcast, I have a social media influencer who got his start recapping some of our favorite reality TV shows, from Love & Hip Hop franchise to The Real Housewives franchise, and most recently, my creation, BT Presents The Encore. His name is Kendall Kendall, and he is super duper hilarious. We talk about his position in the reality TV zeitgeist as somebody who is way more influential than even I knew. We get down and dirty about the state of reality television, in addition to how some of y'all favorite reality stars pay him to talk about them. Gag, honey. Additionally, we also speak on The Real Housewives of Potomac being the superior franchise and how Shawnee O'Neal needs to come back and save Basketball Wives. Without further ado, get into this conversation with Kendall Kendall. Let's get into the current state of reality television. So Kendall, as someone who used to review reality TV on your YouTube channel, what are your thoughts on the state of reality TV today? And how has it been holding your attention?
Okay, that's crazy that you asked that, because I have moments where I'm like, am I just bored, or is something missing? And something is missing. I don't feel like it's as authentic as it used to be, because reality TV was just, you got what you got. Now I feel like it's very produced. Everybody, some of the storylines, I'm like, who told them to do this? Like, who told them to do this before? Let's just take it all the way back to Jocelyn. Jocelyn was raw. She was real. She was authentic. She just come in. She knew what to do. She understood the assignment. Now, it is something missing. But we have some good shows that pop out here and there. Real Housewives of Potomac, I like them. I still like all my shows, but Real Housewives of Potomac, they really bring it. Your show Encore was hilarious. Oh, my God. And I heard it, just like when I was doing Love & Hip Hop. I heard it. It was on. I think I was like in the bathroom doing something. And I said, wait, what is this? What? Let me go out here and watch this. And from there, you know, I just went at it, because it was authentic. I feel like them first seasons be like real and raw. And then after they kind of like, you know, get the groove of things, they start making shit up. That's how I feel. That's my opinion. And I'll stick it to it.
No, I could not agree more. Because listen, as someone who produces and creates reality TV shows, the one thing I can attest to is the fact that the first seasons of all reality shows, it's authentic. The reason why I'm unable to get into The Real Housewives of Dubai, and no shade, I do call the show The Real Housewives of Bye-bye. Because, honey, I'm not into it. And the reason why I'm not into it is because I feel like those ladies have studied every single housewife, right? When you look at the Love & Marriage franchise, Ashley Silva from Love & Marriage DC, she acts like no one on reality television. And that's a first season cast member. The same thing with Melody Holt, when she started Love and Marriage Huntsville. There was no blueprint to these women, and they did not operate the way some of these newer reality stars are acting. So I could not agree with you more. But let's get into your favorite show, Love and Hip Hop, that you just referenced, and someone that you and I both love, who is Jocelyn Hernandez. What are your thoughts on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta and the current members in the cast in comparison to the days you were actively reviewing the show?
I definitely think they need to bring somebody back to shake things up, because right now I think they're coasting. It is what it is. They have their little beefs, but them earlier days, Jocelyn shook everything up, from Mimi to Tommy to Rashida. She didn't care. You put Jocelyn in the room, you already know that's going to be a scene. You got a scene. If you were struggling with something, throw Jocelyn in there. I don't care if she wasn't invited to the party. Throw her in there. You need somebody to come and shake things up, because right now, I think it's coasting. We'll see what happens August 8th, because it's coming back out. August 8th, we'll see what happens. They've been gone. They've been doing like the little retreats and stuff. I didn't watch those because I took a peek at them, but it didn't really capture my attention like the actual season do. So they've been gone, and you know, people been clowning because they've been in the house. So now that we outside, maybe they're going to give us some outside energy. So we'll see August 8th. I already ran into Kirk and Rashida. His hair is coming back in.
Not his hair coming back.
Rashida is still pretty and gorgeous like she always is, you know. We ready to see who Carly's fucking. We don't know who Carly's fucking. She's fucking somebody every year. So I'm ready to see who Carly's fucking. Yep. She always got a new fuck. Yeah.
Not fucking every year. See, these are the spicy and unapologetic commentary we're used to getting from you when you used to recap Love and Hip Hop. Although you moved on to acting, you got your start recapping reality TV, and you made such a large influence in this genre. So I want to give you your flowers for that, Kendall. But my question is this. Do you now find it difficult for you to give recaps on reality TV today, especially since you know them and you run into them more by you also being in front of the camera?
Yes, and that was my fear, you know, when I was doing reality on the couch in Detroit. I was like, oh my God, because when I started getting booked, I started running into these people. And of course, the first thing I thought is, oh, shoot, they about to get me. But they actually was like, oh, my God, I love you. I love you. I love you. And then I started getting hit up in the DM like, why you ain't talk about me today? I'm like, what? You want me to talk about you? But here's the thing. This is what they were saying at their green screens. If Kendall don't talk about you, you're not relevant. And I said, oh, bitch got power. Oh, bitch got power. And they was like, why you not talking about me? And I think Suki attacked me and was like, why you ain't talk about me? What you like me or something? You don't like me? What's going on? You like me? You don't like me? And I was like, I just didn't have nothing to talk about. It was a thing. But once I started getting cool and started getting in the circle, the Hollywood circle, it was difficult, but I kind of took a small page from Wendy Williams. I heard her say one time that she don't like to get close with people because she has to talk about them. But hers is different. I just talk about what I see on TV. I don't go and, you know, after and dig deep and pull up stuff. I just talk about what you show me on TV. That's what you did. So you getting mad at me. You let it be on TV. So you mad at me because why? So I'm cool with them. But sometimes I like when they want to tell me their story, like, so this was going to happen. Don't talk to me about that. No, because you're going to mess it up. It's not going to be authentic. I want to see it on TV because they try to give me like a little, you know, the little in on it, like, so Kirk got another baby coming out. This didn't happen, guys. I'm just using this. This didn't happen because Carlos, y'all should see Carlos right now. This didn't happen. I'm just using this as an example. Got another baby, but, and I'll be like, oh, no, don't tell me because now I'm gonna be expecting it. I want to get it because it's raw. It's authentic. My reaction, real. Like, it's nothing that I know. I react off of what I see right then and there. So
hold up. Wait a second. So who was it? Because you can't drop that bomb and not let me know who it was.
On Love and Hip Hop, one of the franchises. Let's put it that way. But no, I can say who it was. It was Shay. Because remember, I was going in on Shay Wiggs all the time. remember shank wigs was a thing. And she was like, you hurt my feelings. She was like, I was like, girl, but you had these bees nests and stuff on, and we was just trying to figure out what was going on. We just wanted your hair flat. We wanted you to be pretty on TV, baby. What's going on? But let me tell you, I'm going to tell you this, Carlos. When I was going in on the hair, I ain't going to lie, I can't, listen. Back in my old days, that was some of my funnest times I had doing reality. But people, it was like when I went in on their hair, oh my God, the next season, they came correct. And I was like, well, at least they listening. If I went in on an outfit, okay, well, they listening. Because at the end of the day, I'm going in on it, not going in on it just to be funny. I am being funny because the shit is funny. But also, fix these things. Because you know, and sometimes in my commentary, I give advice. Sometimes people are like, oh, he preaching. So I'm like, I might be going in, but I'm going to give you a message behind it.
That is such a good point, because when I was working with Felicia Fallon on BET Presents The Encore, you know, the show where you read the girls, I used to tell them all the time, like, look, if people are talking about you, that's a good thing. It means you're relevant. It means you're worth talking about. You want to be a part of the conversation. And one thing I know about reality television is we cast people who we feel like are conversation starters. So if you're not starting the conversation, you're not relevant on my show, period, or any other show. You want to be talked about, because when you do, people buy into you and your products. And that's why when it came to the Encore, the group Blueprint, their album shot to number one on the R&B iTunes chart. When did you realize the power and influence of your opinion in this space of reality TV? Because the example I want to give is Shay from Love & Hip Hop and how you influenced her getting a better wig. Love you, Shay. No shade. But also how you also made people step up their game in appearing on the show. Were you always aware of this influence that you possessed?
Yes, I knew it. Ooh, I knew it before I left Michigan. I knew it before I left Michigan. Let me put you in on something. Some people paid me about them. And this was a part of my savings that how I got to LA.
Wait, hold up. They used to pay you?
Let me put you in on that. Some people paid me to talk about them, but just made sure that I tagged their business or tagged them. You know what I mean? But no, some people had me to talk about them. And like I said, some people, you know, they were asking me like, why you ain't say nothing about me? Or why you ain't talk about me? And I'm like, well, you wasn't all that great. I like to talk about people who give me something to talk about. Felicia and Fallon was amazing. When I talk, and people get so mad sometimes because they be like, why are you going in on these people? I want to jump from Felicia to Real Housewife of Potomac. Candace, I went in on Candace a lot. But what they don't understand is when I go in on somebody, I like them because they giving me something to talk about. And they think I hated Candace. And she got on my nerves with some of the stuff she did. But Candace is TV. She's great for TV because she has it. She just has what it takes. She keeps the pot stirring. That's what I'm saying. Like a Jocelyn Hernandez. You come in and you keep the pot stirring. Cardi came in and she stirred the pot too whenever she was on there. So, I mean, I got paid before to talk about some people. But I also tell them, but here's the other power that I had, because I will also say no, because if you're boring, I'm not talking about you. Because I'm not going to pull. I don't like to pull, like try to pull something just because you tried to like pay me to talk about you. I'd be like, yeah, I can't do that. Nah. Or, hey, when you do this, I don't know if you remember, I used to do the Real BB Judy, the Miracle Drops. I would always have those drops at the TV. You know, I was like, oh, you need some Miracle Drops. You ain't got no edges, this and that. It made sense for what I was doing and what I was talking about at the moment. So that income, when I figured out this was a business and I filed, I said, oh, this is a thing. Okay. And my boss called me in her office. I said, oh, I'm about to get fired. Because she saw me on the BET Awards. She said, how long I got? I said, huh? She was like, don't play with me. My kids showed me. You showed me you on the BET Awards. I was like, I was like, August? It was July at this point. She was like, give me to September. I was like, okay, September, that's it, because October, I'm out of here. I'm moving to LA. I got my apartment. I got to move in on the 15th. She was like, wait, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was like, yeah. She was like, so when you was going to tell me? I was like, I wasn't. I was going to give you a 2 weeks, like I'm supposed to do. I was going to give you a 2 weeks, and I was going to be out of there. But I saved my money from, you know, everything I did on social media, whether it was at the time when I used to post promos, or if I was doing promotions within my commentary, any bookings that I had, and I was still living off my money I was making from my corporate job. And then all of that money that I was making, I had saved up so much because I know how I wanted to live in LA, where I wanted to live in LA, and what I wanted to do. So, yeah. You got to have a plan, because when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I told you, I'm gonna give you a word or two. Nah, I might talk my shit, but I got some shit for you.
Boy, you are dropping gems. But that's the beauty of this podcast, is because not only do we talk mess about people, but we're also here to inspire. So you're telling me that you quit your corporate job to further your career in entertainment. So much so, you lived off your corporate job salary and use your income from social media, the bookings and the commentary and all that stuff, and use that money to go further in this industry.
Yep, I did. I did. That PayPal account that I had, it was just racking up. And I was just looking at it like, what? I remember when I got to $20,000. I said, oh my God, I'm rich. Oh my God, I am rich. What in the heck? And it kept going. It was when it hit 50, I said, And I said, oh, and then when I started making that winter, it was that winter. It was so cold, Carlos. I was traveling from Novi to Troy, trying to get to work. I said, this the last winter. I said, I'd be damned if I stay here another winter. It was so bad. I got in an accident, had to get a new car. I said, yeah, I'm getting out of here. I said, this it. My hand's cold. I'm freezing. No, I can't do this. I said, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. And so many people were like, well, it's expensive out there. Well, this, that. But it was like, I didn't care. And you know how sometimes it's easy to be influenced and be like, okay, I'll wait another year. Hold on. I didn't care. I was packing and I wasn't even worried about what would happen. And what got me was when I was getting out there, VH1, of course, they had me do some Facebook Lives with Love & Hip Hop cast. And I was doing Facebook Lives, and then he was booking me to come out there to do some things. And they were like, yeah, when you gonna move, you should just move here. And I was like, I'm actually moving in October, but I'm a little nervous. I said, but I'm coming. And they said, get here, you'll be fine. And then I'm with VH1, get here, you'll be fine. Then I'm with some other people. They like, all you need to do is get here. You're gonna be fine, don't worry. That was that confirmation. I said, oh, I got there on Wednesday. I was booked on Friday. I said, okay, that was one of the best decisions I ever made in my life. And it felt like I just moved across the city.
I love hearing that story because to me, it's super inspiring, especially for my listeners, because you are proving that you can get paid and make a lot of money just off of giving your recaps of reality shows. And I don't think a lot of people know that. So that's really inspiring for people to hear. So you mentioned Real Housewives, which is a larger franchise. Do you think with these newer cities coming out, is the Real Housewives becoming oversaturated? And do you have a favorite of the Real Housewives franchise?
Oversaturated? I'm fine with it because we always need something new, right? How can I say this? Which one is my favorite? Potomac? Atlanta was my favorite, but... And I know people are probably going to say it's favoritism because they seen me hanging with her. And that's not it. She just really is a cool and fun person to hang with. But I want them to bring Nene back. But I understand there's some things that's going on, that's happening. I don't know. And that's not my business. I don't want to know. That's whatever. But they have to bring Nene back for Atlanta to pop off, because I didn't even do a review for Atlanta because I couldn't. I mean, it was okay to watch, but it wasn't really giving me nothing. I'm not really just pulled from each scene. If it ain't given, it just not given. Potomac always giving. And I'm just, you know, right now Potomac is my favorite. I did Dubai, but here's the thing about that. I did it and it was new. So I got to continue to do it because my followers, when they get something new, they don't bite right away. It takes them 2 or 3 weeks. if they see me do it, like, well, really four weeks. If they see me do it and I'm consistent with it, they like, oh, maybe this is something I need to watch. And then they'll jump onto it. Cause I did Salt Lake City like that and they jumped on it. And then I stopped and they was like, wait, where is it? So Dubai is good. Them girls got a little money out there. Them girls got some money. But what's funny about the girls with money, they don't got no real problems, or they act like they don't. They act like they don't have a problem. They think life is just great and whatever, my husband will do it, or we got this and we got that. So sometimes I'd be like, come on now, you came from a struggle. Because it's like, what, two or three girls from the U.S.? Stop playing with me. But yeah, they got real money. But these housewives, because I want to see who's new and who's next. Here's my question to you. Who you think they're going to, like, out of the franchise, who you think going to be like, you know, we're just kind of going to go ahead and, like, shy away from this?
Well, look, let's talk about The Real Housewives of Dallas, right? So that show is currently on pause. And the reason why it's on pause is because, look, I got to be honest, after season two, it just wasn't a great season. Season three was great, don't get me wrong. But season two was iconic. And in my opinion, you can't do a Real Housewives of Dallas without Lian Locken. And yes, the thing she said was problematic. I'm not here to say it wasn't. It absolutely was. But if we're talking about the coincidence that the Real Housewives of Dallas got put on pause, the one season that Lian Locken wasn't on there, that's what we call a force multiplier. But when it comes to The Real Housewives of Atlanta, look, I think that show is going through a transitional period with two new housewives and a couple of our OGs leaving and a few of the fan favorites not being on. And let's be very clear, Marlo has single-handedly saved this season. And the reason why I'm saying that is because if you look at the most recent episodes, where Marlo took the ladies to the mountains and she wanted to, like, you know, be the hostess with the mostest. At the very end of that episode is when it got interesting, because you saw how Marlo versus Kenya was very interesting. And if it wasn't for Marlo pushing Kenya's button, nothing would be happening. And that's why I say Marlo Hampton has saved this current season of The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Marlo did. She did save this. Because I don't know. And I thought it was going to be good because, you know, I saw Candy, her and Cynthia had a conversation. I saw like a clip where she was like, you said it was gone. You didn't care that I was gone because I'm born or something. She's like, no. She's like, but I'm going to be honest with you. This season is good. So I was like, okay. Okay, it's good. Candy was like, this season good. She's like, I was a little scared because we got these new girls, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, I'm kind of like the only OG there. Portia was gone. And she was like, I don't know. And she was like, Cynthia, it's good. So I was like, okay, Candy done sold me. It's okay. It ain't giving, like, you remember we used to, when they came on in November, every November, people was ready. People was having watch parties. They was on Sunday. They had their wine, their cocktails, their snacks. Friends was coming over to watch them housewives. Don't nobody care. I'd be going to, I'd be like, well, Sunday fun day, I'll do it tomorrow. Before, I ain't coming to Sunday fun day, baby. I got to do the housewives. I ain't coming. I'm doing the housewives. I'll see y'all later. I got to work. Now I'll be like, I'll do it.
No, look, I've been saying that a lot lately. But of course, the girls want to read me and call me a hater and blah, 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 blah. But I tell people all the time that The Real Housewives of Atlanta is no longer must-see TV. It doesn't mean the season is bad. The biggest thing for me is it's not must-see TV. People are no longer interested in staying home, missing out on Sunday fun day, missing out on brunch, missing out on P-Valley, no shade, to watch that show. It's just not what it used to be anymore. Look, I think it's okay. It's not a great season. And it's interesting because a lot of people are like, oh my God, it's the redemption season. It's so great. I personally would not put The Real Housewives of Atlanta season 14 and great in the same sentence.
The thing is, I think they were hyping it up to be so good because they didn't know what to expect and what they were going to get out of it because so many people left. Cynthia's gone. Portia was gone. Of course, Nene didn't come back. So they probably was like, oh, shoot, because people kept saying it was going to be a snooze fest. Black Twitter. Oh, snooze fest. It's going to be a snooze fest. All these people gone. And again, like we both said, it's okay. It's okay. I'm still watching. I mean, I'm going to give you your views. I'm still going to support it. It's a black show, and I'm going to watch it.
Earlier, you mentioned that The Real Housewives of Potomac is your favorite city out of the Real Housewives franchise. Do you think the Potomac Housewives is the top city of all of them?
My opinion, yes. Yes, I think they're up there because a lot of people still, they like Beverly Hills. And a lot of people still going up for, Beverly Hills. So it's neck and neck. It's Potomac. I want to say Potomac almost up there with Beverly Hills, but people are really going up for Beverly Hills. And I haven't really tapped into them. I used to, but I haven't tapped into them. But I hear a lot of my friends, they are always like reciting lines from Beverly Hills. I'm like, where's that from? And they were like, Dorit said, and nothing wouldn't be funnier than when Dorit, and nothing wouldn't be funnier than this person and that person. I was like, oh, okay. Where's Brandy? Brandy, is she on OC?
No, she's on Beverly Hills.
She recently hit my DM too. So she just was like, I love you. Oh my God, you cracked me up. And I'm like, is she saying that because she wants me to review something she's on? Or does she really love me? But I was excited to know that, Brandy is, she was following me and she's been commenting and sending me DMs. I like Brandy. Brandy was one of the ones that would shake up some stuff too. She'd say anything, do anything, and I was like, oh, she's that one. It's always somebody every season is that one. Marlo is that one. Candace was that one. Felicia, them twins. One of them was more than the one. Which one? Fallon or Felicia?
I know. They're it's not easy to tell those two apart. Fallon is the one who expresses herself the most. She's the one that can read you off the top of the dome. Like, Fallon doesn't give a fuck.
Fallon was blah, blah, blah. And then Felicia, she had just come in and clean it up or add a little razzle-dazzle. But Fallon was like, blah, 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 blah. I was like, but you got to remember, when I'm doing my commentary, I'm doing it as a viewer, like how people will watch TV. Now, when I'm done, I laugh to myself as I'm getting ready for bed. I'm like, ooh, them motherfuckers crazy. I love them. I love them. I love them. They be shaking and shit. Oh, I love them. They got to stay. But, I might get on there and be like, oh, my God, why are they on here? They so mean. Get them off of here. I'm saying talking that much shit. We need them.
Oh, I'm so glad we're having this conversation. I tell people all the time, when people tweet, fire her, fire him, we don't like him, we don't like her, that means you're interesting. That means you have ignited something in this person and on the show that low-key, they want to see you. They secretly love you. So I'm so glad you said that. But let's get into Basketball Wives.
I'll tell you this. I got to catch up. I got up to when they went to Vegas for Duffy's birthday. So we can talk about it because I got a lot of things to say because I was... That part with Duffy. So when we started off with the show, I just felt like it was Malaysian Brandy, Malaysian Brandy, Malaysian Brandy. I was like, oh my God, it's a season about Malaysian Brandy. So I started thinking back, oh, they always have somebody that's into it. So Tammy and Evelyn not here. So it's now Malaysian Brandy. So I was like, this is the new Tammy and Evelyn. Got it. They finally make up at the house. I don't know what happened after that because that's where I stopped, at the house in Vegas. But what is this beef with Duffy and the two sisters, Noria and Nia, come from? Like, she told them, I don't know, did I miss something? She told them not to come to the club, and then she texted them later on the side and said, come, because she felt bad. And then they got into it there. I'm like, did the producers tell Duffy to pick with them? Because Duffy, don't forget, that used to be you. So why would you do that? Like the new girl that got picked on by Tammy and everybody was like not really feeling the new girl. And now you fucking with these two sisters. I was like, did they tell her to shake some shit up with them? Because I'm like, where's the beef coming from? I didn't even know it was a beef.
So let me break it down for you. The sisters, Noria and Nia, one of them posted this post on their Insta story saying something along the lines of going into a out-of-wedlock baby shower or gender reveal or something like that. And then Brooke showed the other girls the Insta story and then had the audacity, messy-ass Brooke, she showed it to Angel Brinks, who was having the gender reveal. And then it became like this big conversation about whether or not those sisters were being messy.
Okay, so don't tell me what happened because I'm going to watch some more. But I did see up to the point where finally somebody threw something and Brandy got hit and it said to be continued. I was just like, what's going on? Like, Duffy, because at the reveal, Duffy's like, I'm going to go get Rockstar. Now, what you going to go get this messy motherfucker for? He lives for mess. We saw him on Love & Hip Hop. He ready for whatever. Like, he cool. I done met him in person, too. He cool. Like, you know, he was like, man, you be doing your shit. That shit be funny. But we know you messy, man. You messy. We know you messy. So why are you going to get him? She's like, I'm not going to get Angel because this is her day. Okay, it's his day, too. It's his baby. She not just pregnant. They're pregnant. So why don't you just lead him out of it? What did you go get him for? For what? To stir up some shit for him to put old girl out. I think they told Brooke, and I didn't know her kids was that grown. Because one about to graduate from college, I thought there was high school, but he was talking like an adult. And I was like, nah, this man about to graduate from Morehouse or something like that. And the daughter, I don't know, and the daughter, they grown. And she was like, I'm just scared to tell the kids. Girl, they about to have, y'all about to have kids together. The son even said it like, I'm cool with it. I mean, you do what you want to do. But the thing is, what you do when our kids, we have kids at the same time. Who want to do that? Like, how old is your mama? Like Tyler Perry, but then, how old is the grandmother? 35. Oh, I got to go.
I believe with you. Okay, Chaka, Jocelyn said, your grandma the baby.
If you don't know how you pay, hey, your baby, your grandma, hey, your baby, your grandma the baby. What? Huh? When she said that, I put the phone down. I said, okay, let me take the dogs outside because it's enough internet for me today. Remember the Ray-Ban one when she said about the Ray-Ban? Hey, baby, she can call it Ray-Ban. Do you know Ray-Ban? These bananas are Tega. I don't know what it was. I'm not saying it verbatim, but she said, these bananas are Tega. To take a vendetta or something, she said. I said, oh, there we go again. That's enough. That's enough. Lord, let me go make a cocktail. Let me go do some content because the internet is done.
Speaking of done, do you think Basketball Wives can survive without Tammy and Evelyn? Do you think the show is done or can they find new women and make the show great again?
Ooh. Because I think Tammy and Evelyn is done. You know, like when you're done with high school, you can't go back. You're done. Like, that part of your life is over. It's time to do other things or whatever it is. So I think Tammy is in her bag right now. She's in her acting bag. She's Miss Pat Show with, amongst other things. I don't know. I haven't seen Evelyn in a while. I used to run into her around Shawnee. So I don't know what she's doing, but I just feel like everybody is doing something else and that time is over. Can it survive? Yes. They just got to, like we said, you just got to find your Tammys, your Evelyns, your Nene's, your New York's, Jocelyn's. They just have to find it and maybe they're struggling right now. But sometimes you just got to give those people that you think probably won't be that person that'll just pop out. You got to give them a chance. I feel like I go through that sometimes. Some people be like, and then when they see me, they like, oh shit, okay, oh, I got it. So, you know, those people are out there. They just got to find them and you got to give somebody a chance. You're giving all these other people a chance and we sleep. So give somebody else a chance that can maybe wake us up. Just give somebody else a chance that can wake us up. I think Basketball Wives can. I want Shawnee to come back because as much as Shawnee was quiet and she was in behind the scenes, Shawnee slick ass was behind the scenes shaking things up. She get her one-on-ones with somebody. It was in one-on-ones. I'm going to talk to Shani today because I was just so devastated at the dinner the other day and blah, 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 blah. Shani be like, really? So all this happened when I left. She throw that hair behind her ear. I be like, I love it because she know what she doing. Shani shaking it up. And then, you know, they scared to say something because that's head honcho. So they talk about it without saying Shani's name. And, you know, ain't nobody gone. What she say? Thank you for your services. But I need Shani to come back. Shani got to come back. She a part of it, too. We got to need her to shake it up with her little one-on-ones because she knows what she be doing. I love me some Shani.
I could not agree more. And I never thought about it that way. So the show is actually missing Shani because Shani is the only executive producer that's on the show that really does some executive producing. She's in charge of the girls. She's the force multiplier that needs to activate these girls to give good TV. We want Shani back. And Shani, please come back and bring some OGs with your child. But Kendall, some people may not know that you're also an actor, darling. You're currently starring in All Black's new show called A La Carte, where your character, Rain Moore, yes, Kingdom Rain, Rain Moore serves as the moral compass of the friend group.
I am an actor. You can find me everywhere. Kendall, K-E-N-D-A-L-L-K-Y-N-D-A-L-L. That's on Facebook. That's on Twitter. That's on TikTok, also Instagram. And then All Black is where A La Carte is. Also, Social Society is on there too, which I'm on there with my other co-hosts, Reginae, Kendra G, and Angela Simmons. Make sure y'all check that out because y'all can watch all 15 episodes. But make sure y'all tune in to A La Carte All Black. It's very relatable. You got all different types of relationships. You got the side chick. You got the chick with her man who he keep cheating, which we see that all day. We got the girl who's a trisexual. And then you got the guy who is gay. But also, don't forget, y'all, everybody think gay look a certain way. It's, just watch it. It's very masculine. And a lot of people looked at it and they was like, man, like my perspective changed. But y'all tune in. It's very spicy. It's very sexy. It's a lot of sex. But it's a lot of messages in it. And y'all will love it. So make sure y'all tune in to A La Carte. And yeah, it might be a season 2 around the corner.
I needed 5 hours to continue talking to Kendall Kendall. I can talk to him all day. He reminds me so much of myself. We're both from Detroit. We're both openly gay Black men in this business. And to see how his star has risen just by being a fan of this genre that I love so much, and how he left Detroit, Michigan, moved to LA because he started to capitalize off of recapping reality TV shows. That is so inspiring. And it goes to show you that when it comes to this genre, you can be a fan of it and still make money off of your opinion. I love it. Thoughts, opinions, reads about my conversation with Kendall Kendall, email me at realitywiththeking@stitcher.com or leave me a voicemail at 310-593-8188. Thank you for listening to Reality with the King. New episodes drop every Wednesday and Friday. Share, comment, follow, and subscribe to Reality with the King wherever you get your podcast. Visit realitywiththeking.com and be sure to follow me at @thecarlosking_ on Instagram and Twitter. Reality with the King is a production of More Sauce by Stitcher. It is executive produced by me, Carlos King, and Jasmine Henley Brown. We are also produced by Sierra Spragley Ricks, engineering and music by Marcus Ham.
More Sauce.